Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I hope everybody enjoyed your Thanksgiving. I hope everybody enjoyed the Black Friday reveals. I went back and I looked at the Q&A and I only missed, I think, five or six. So I'm going to do some Epstein right now. If somebody adds some more questions to there, then I'll do another part. But I really didn't miss that many. So anyway, I've got some Epstein stuff. And, you know, shout out to the research and all that's been going on. And I feel like there's not a whole lot that's going on. There was an article in the New York Times today kind of about Epstein and blackmail and things. And it was some kind of faker. And I really didn't understand the whole purpose of the story so much because it didn't really break any new ground. It just showed to me kind of that the lawyers for the victims, including David Boies, are just kind of looking for as much money as they can get. It almost sounded like they were willing to blackmail the abusers for their own personal gain, which doesn't sound right. You know, do it for the victims. One of the things that you probably didn't notice is that I think a couple episodes ago when I was talking about Epstein, I talked about the Delarues, the people, and I said, well, they own printing presses, the people that make the money for several countries. And they also make the England's passports. And apparently, they are in a lot of trouble now. Their shares are way down, they lost a bunch of money. And it kind of feels almost as if now that Epstein's dead, they don't have this kind of whatever was going on, right? They've lost all these contracts. They've lost them to French companies. They've lost them to a whole bunch of other countries. So they've appointed like a turnaround specialist and things like that. Just not doing really well. And I just thought it was kind of interesting because I had just talked about Delarues, and then there's this thing about their whole company crashing to the ground. But let's talk some Epstein stuff. And, you know, going to the blacklist, this is all black book stuff again. And there is a person in the black book with like 6 kajillion entries. And there is this story about a lottery scam and Zorro Trust. And Zorro Trust and Heritage Trust are kind of connected. And Heritage Trust is a Wexner company. And they were the ones who, so let's go back to 2008. In Oklahoma, there was a state lottery. And Zorro Trust won over $29 million. Now, Zorro Trust appears to be a company that was just designed to keep the winner's identity a secret, which is not really, it's not really common because the lottery people really, really want individuals to come forward. It's part of their advertising. Oh, well, look, so-and-so won, so-and-so won. And, you know, they have to kind of keep that going so that people keep buying lottery tickets over and over and over. So there was this company, Zorro Trust, that was created in 2008. And they won over $29 million in the Oklahoma State Lottery. And the thing is that Zorro Trust won the money, but a representative from Heritage Trust, this Wexner company, showed up to officially pick up the $29 million. And this is the thing that made it kind of interesting also, is that there was some computer malfunctions, I guess, with this Oklahoma lottery, and the glitch was discovered shortly before the drawing was to be shown live, but then, because of this technical difficulties, they decided that they wouldn't hold it live. And you had this money that was won, and the lottery said, well, we were hoping that this individual would show up, but an individual didn't show up. And the quote was from the Oklahoma Lottery people was we were hopeful they would come in, but as time passed, we knew they were going to form a trust. And this July 2nd ticket of $29.3 million was paid out to Zorro Trust. And July 1st was the day that Epstein started to serve his 18-month jail term in Florida. And so then you have this Zorro Trust who actually then gives the money over to Heritage Trust. And it's just kind of an odd kind of coincidence, something to think about. It just why is Wexner getting involved in that? Why is the trust there? Then there's further kind of questions. Apparently Zorro Trust, like I said, a trust is not, it's not common, but there are trusts designed to keep people shielded and to keep money safe. Well, people started digging around more into Zorro Trust. And Zorro Trust was also called the Zorro Development Corporation. And Zorro Trust was founded in New Mexico. And Zorro Trust had an operating officer when it was created by the name of Jeffrey Epstein. Isn't that interesting? So how did Jeffrey Epstein win a lottery? Is this all kind of connected? Did they, you know, talk to somebody who won? Did they make them a deal? It's just, it's very, very interesting. It wasn't a trust that was created for lottery winners. It was a trust that was already in existence. So it's something to really think about. And remember, when we're talking about, lotteries can't be fixed and all that kind of stuff. But remember the kind of people that we're dealing with here. We're dealing with people that, as I said, print money, make passports. The other company, the one that's run by Ghislaine's sisters, they track and monitor people coming in and out of various countries and whether or not, you know, their passports have been stamped and things like that. So is it going out there a little bit? Yeah, it's going out there a little bit, but I mean, it's something that I think that we all need to kind of think about going forward. And there hasn't really been any great explanation at all. Let's see, in the Black Book, Claire Mountbatten, I love all these people. Claire is a friend of Ghislaine. She is the Marchioness of Milford Haven. Now, her husband, George, is, and let's see how many times Claire is in this. Claire is in the book, three entries. And her husband, George, is the co-founder of Sarah Ferguson's Children in Crisis. And Claire's son committed suicide when he was just 21. And Claire held the position of social editor for Tatler magazine. And remember, we've seen Tatler come in here before. And Ghislaine, of course, has these tabloid connections. And which better way to explain a lot of the blackmail stuff? So if you want to say there is something important to the New York Times story today, you know, they are suggesting out loud for the first time that Jeffrey Epstein made most of his money through elaborate blackmail schemes. I've talked about that forever. And I think that the original person that was blackmailed was Les Wexner. And I think that had to do more with the mob kind of controlling Les Wexner. And then they've taken it to the extremes. Now, were there any intelligence agencies involved or anything like that? Maybe. I mean, you talk about Southern Air Transport and all of that. And it doesn't mean that it has to be intelligence agencies that are active, you know, state-run kind of things. It could be people that used to work for intelligence agencies, and they're thinking, well, you know, this government pension's not going to go that far, and we have all this useful knowledge, and then we have these connections of people that make passports, people that check and can maybe delete whether or not we crossed a border, stuff like that. Then you have Javier Mates. He's an actor. He formerly owned Mates.com, the domain's for sale. I mean, he's an actor that shot a movie in Argentina. He lives in New York. There's only one entry for this guy, but I'm always suspicious of anybody in South America and just all of those people like that. Then we have Conrad and Barbara Black. He is a former newspaper publisher. Conrad is a British one. He is Canadian born in Montreal. He's been married twice. And he, if you will recall, Conrad is the guy who owned the Daily Telegraph and the Spectator before he was jailed. And he was pardoned back in May by President Trump. And this is somebody that had... Well, it's going to take me a minute to count this. I'm going to have to use fingers and toes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 different contact in Jeffrey's book. That is a lot. He is the former chairman of the third largest newspaper group in the world. He controlled the London Telegraph, the Chicago Sun-Times, the Jerusalem Post. And Black was found guilty of 3 counts of mail fraud, 1 count of obstruction of justice, but had been cleared of 9 other counts against him, including racketeering. Do those all kind of sound mob-like to you? They do to me. And again, if you go back, the Times is saying now out loud that Epstein may have got his money through blackmail. I've already talked about the mob connection. I mean, Wexner is neck deep in the mob. And this is the kind of thing they do. Mail fraud, obstruction of justice, racketeering. So, very powerful people. Then we have Brian Blacker. And he is in the book. Just one contact. But the address that Epstein has for him actually leads to a deceased male. And Brian did die in 2016, so I think that's probably it. His wife died back in 2005. Nothing really special. Like I said, just one entry. And these one entry ones, I'm always, well, it's not like the Blacks with the 22. 22 entries. This is somebody that Epstein could contact day or night, anywhere in the world, instantly. Then we have, and Brian Blacker's family is in the family tree is a person named John Cavendish. And the 2017 film Breathe is about the trials and tribulation of Diana Blacker's husband, Robin Cavendish, and his journey after contracting polio and advancing the mechanics of wheelchairs. This sounds kind of like something that would be right up Epstein's alley because he was really into those technology people. Jonathan Cavendish also worked on Elizabeth the Golden Age and the Bridget Jones films. So all these connections. That Conrad Black, though, 22 entries. That's a lot. Brenda Jean Shad. Now, we've talked about Brenda Shad before. She's a Native American model. She was adopted by an American military family. She started modeling, though, at 19 years old in Paris. Now, she dated British millionaire Robert Hansen, who she met at a party when he, Robert, was Naomi Campbell's date. She has also dated Albert II, the Prince of Monaco. She dated actor Matthew Modine. Her ex-husband is Frederick Broberg, who is the father of her son. And, you know, you will find Brenda with a lot of pictures in, you know, Wire Image or any Getty, all those kind of things. You will see her with Andre Balazs. You will see her with Ghislaine. You will see, and I've had Brenda, I've talked about it before. And it just kind of, she is somebody that I think was used maybe for connections, maybe a little bit. Yeah. Let's see. How about Andrea Mitrovich? She is in there twice. She was, this is somebody who's important. She's only in there twice. And then I have some current email addresses for her that I've been trying to reach out. She was a professional ballerina in the American Ballet Theater Company. And she currently lives in North Carolina. She spent a lot of time with Jeffrey Epstein. She was on the Lolita Express at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. So this is somebody who, just right there. And she's 39 now. So when all of this kind of stuff was going on, I mean, early 20s, that's kind of Jeffrey Epstein's sweet spot if you're talking about somebody who's legal. Then we have Jason. This is an interesting one because Jason is only listed by the first name and in parentheses, Canada. There's a couple of phone numbers, and digging into them, it appears that they belong to a place called the Up Club. One also comes back to Brochette, CA, which is a Middle Eastern cuisine restaurant that's now closed. And like I said, the other one is a nightclub called Up Club, which appears to still be in business, and I haven't checked exactly. But the club is a hangout for Middle Eastern businessmen, which kind of goes for what Epstein was involved with. This Jason has multiple last names, which doesn't seem normal. The restaurant had we're talking in Canada, not here, had multiple shootings in the 2000s. There was a man who was shot and injured in the restaurant. This is happened back in 2009. Apparently one or two men entered the building, a fight broke out. The victim was hit by several bullets in the upper body. He stumbled outside the restaurant while the shooter fled. So, the Yelp reviews on this thing are horrendous. One and a half stars on Yelp. That could also be another reason that it closed. Oh. Andres Pastrana Arango. Now, we've talked about him before. This is the one that everybody assumes is the South American president that Virginia slept with. Now, that's pretty much all I've really talked about him as. Okay, but what you have is you had, in 2003, Epstein was Lolita Express, and he had Pastrana on the plane, and they went to go meet Fidel Castro. And the Colombian president, Pastrana, in a press statement, denied knowing anything of the sexual abuse of minors, but confirmed flying with Epstein to Cuba to visit Fidel Castro. And it says, I've appeared in the registry on a flight of mine on his plane to Nassau, Bahamas for a stopover with the final destination of Havana, Cuba, at the invitation of the president. Mr. Epstein left Cuba 1 or 2 days later. I stayed on the island. There's actually 3 flights that the Colombian president was on. And remember, this also on this flight. And remember, we're going to meet Fidel Castro. Okay, but we have Virginia because she's already said that she had sex with him. Then on these flights, we also had Jean-Luc Brunel. So why is it important for him to go meet Fidel Castro? Are we arranging some kind of modeling competition? Or are we going to be trafficking Cuban citizens? Ghislaine was on these flights. Michael Lifman was on these flights. And I can't remember who SK is, but they were also on the flights. And now Pastrana was the president of Colombia from 1998 to 2002. And this occurred in March of 2003, so right after. He was not the president anymore. And his father had also been the president of Colombia. And, you know, that's something to think about. Then we have Johnny and Sophie Bowden. They're only in there once. And Johnny is a fashion tycoon, Bowden fashion brand catalog clothing company. Not seen a lot there. Now, this is an interesting one. We have Mark and Lauren Booth. And Mark Booth is the chief executive of NetJets Europe. He's also in the book. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times. One of the things that always interests me about the Epstein logs and everything is we have the Lolita Express logs. We don't have the Victoria's Secret logs. And what if he's flying on NetJets? We don't have those logs. And I've kind of found that interesting. He ran an internet fund. He left NetJets, actually. Now he is works for Warren Buffett. Yeah. This guy who's in the book, what did I say, a dozen times. He started out in Rupert Murdoch's inner circle, and he ran B Sky B, which is one of Murdoch's old, I don't even know if Murdoch owns it anymore. Just kind of interesting that the NetJet thing and also all these connections, and then the fact that this guy who's in the book so many times works now for Warren Buffett. Then we have Edward G. Razek Jr. He is the man behind the Victoria's Secret fashion show. He left the company in August of this year. But he was the president and chief marketing officer at Limited Brands. He was on the board of, or he could still be on the board of, the James Cancer Hospital in Ohio. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, about 15 or 16 entries. This is somebody that Jeffrey could get a hold of at any time. There are all the email addresses that are business ones, but then there's also personal ones. This Ed Razek guy, he came under a lot of fire because he made controversial comments. He's the one who made comments about the featuring a transgender and plus size models in its annual runway show. And the comments were given when he did an interview with Vogue, and everybody wanted him to resign. He did issue an apology. And Wexner had said that Razek is untouchable. So, but this is a guy who did step down. And they said that he had full control over the creative vision of the brand, considered to be the closest confidant of Les Wexner, who's the CEO and founder of parent company L Brands. And of course, they also own Bath and Body Works and Pink, in addition to Victoria's Secret. So this is somebody that would have a lot of contact with Jeffrey. A lot. And he is in there a lot. Because remember, Jeffrey used the limited planes, Victoria's Secret planes, but he also used the cover of, you know, these underage models and Jean-Luc Brunel by saying that Jeffrey could make them all into Victoria's Secret models. And when you have the president and chief marketing officer and the person who's in charge of the Victoria's Secret fashion show, that's a big, you know, carrot to put in front of a bunch of underage girls. Then we have, this is an interesting one, Nick and Kim Heard. Now, Nick is in the UK Parliament. Let's see how many contacts we have for Nick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And most of these, when I'm saying these, there are many times there's some business numbers, but there's a lot of home numbers, cell phone numbers, things like that. Now, Nick is a suspected MI6 operative, so then we get into the whole intelligence thing. He is great friends with Ghislaine Maxwell. It's said that Nick voted against the Official Secrets Act that would have given kind of witness protection to victims of child abuse. He served in the, I think it was his dad, who was Douglas Richard Heard, the Baron Heard of Westwell. He served in the governments of Margaret Thatcher and John Major from 1979 to 1995. And then you have Nick, Member of Parliament, and then in 2010, I want to say, he was appointed the Minister for Civil Society, He married Lady Claire Kerr, daughter of the Marquess of Lothian. Her second son, Thomas, joined the diplomatic service. His name appeared on a list of suspected MI6 operatives, which was published on the internet. So Thomas, MI6. Then you have Nick Hurd, Lord Hurd. And this MI6 list was supposedly the work of disgruntled former SIS employees. The authenticity of several entries on the list is a little bit questionable, leading to the fact that maybe it was compiled by an amateur. However, that's also some news that, you know, was tried to spread so that way, hey, we don't want any of these people, you know, burned. His wife, so he had Thomas Hurd, and who's the diplomatic service, the son of, Nick is the Baron's first son. Thomas is the second son. And Thomas was appointed OBE in 2006. Now, he's married with 5 kids. His wife, Catherine, died in 2011. How did she die? Okay. Get ready for this one. She died after falling from the roof of the building where they lived on East 84th Street in New York City, just a hop, skip, and a jump from where Epstein lived. Falling from the roof of the building where they lived. Yeah. The story is that she was either pushed or she fell. And they tried to spin it that it happened because of sedatives. The inquest said that, you know, she was possibly depressed. Her body was found in the back garden by her husband. The coroner could not be certain she committed suicide. Why? Because no note was found. And she had wanted to go back to Britain. Now, this roof is 60 feet or something like that. Now, Thomas, he had told the police and the coroner that his wife had said, hey, I'm having trouble getting to sleep, and so I've started to take some sedatives. Now, Nick worked as private secretary to Edward Heath. And Edward Heath is the former prime minister of the UK from 1970 to 1974. And in April 2015, a rape claim against Heath was investigated by the Metropolitan Police but was dropped. Several police forces were investigating allegations of child sexual abuse by Heath. And remember, so you have this connection to Nick, and you have Nick's multiple injuries with Epstein. And you have Nick and possibly Thomas as MI6 operatives. Police investigated the claims that a man had claimed that at the age of 12 he had been raped by Heath in a Mayfair flat in 1961 after he had run away from home. And allegations about Heath were investigated as part of Operation Midland, the Metropolitan Police inquire into historical claims of child abuse and related homicides. And a witness called Nick, in quotes, was introduced to the police by a website, and they had asked him about alleged child sexual abuse by prominent figures at this Dolphin Square apartment complex in London. Heath was reported to be one of the figures. So this Nick guy, 2018, his real name is Carl Beach. So this is a witness, but Carl Beach was arrested and charged over child pornography offenses. And in January 2019, he pleaded guilty. This is the guy who they say had fabricated allegations against Heath and a bunch of other politicians and civil servants. But at the same time, the police said that if Heath had been alive, they would have interviewed him in relation to 7 out of the 42 allegations. So you have this guy who perhaps spun some yarns, but the police went and investigated and said, well, yes, this guy might have been lying, but look, out of these 42 allegations, 7 are something that we would have actually followed up with. So that's something to, you know, take into account. The going back to Thomas's wife, and I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it. I want to say it's Sheehan. It's S-I-A-N. And the father of Sheehan at the inquest, who was also, I guess, a member of Parliament, said that the sedatives could have altered her mental state as the drugs exacerbate morbid ideas. Apparently, she had tried to take an overdose of sedatives back in 2007, suffered a sudden nervous breakdown, but had recovered well and was not being treated for depression at the time of her death. And then Thomas said he woke up at 4 a.m., didn't see his wife in bed, searched their house, and then apparently, so this is somebody who had taken a schwack ton of sleeping pills, had climbed up a ladder in the corner of the bedroom, okay, and this guy is supposedly asleep in there, right? Climbed up a ladder in the corner of the bedroom to gain access to the roof through a hatch before plunging over a wall. So, really? That seems a little bit of a stretch. And the family, she was apparently excited to move back to London, and they had actually been packing the belongings. This was a very nice house that cost about $15,000 a month. And at the time, Thomas was working as a Middle East expert. Again, we have this Middle East thing. On the UN Security Council. So, you know, Heard had been asked if he could tell whether she had jumped or fallen. He said, "We'll never know." I don't know. That is not really the kind of thing that I would be going to. I'm not really sure. So then you have Nick and Thomas Heard were part of this controversial Crime Concern Trust Limited. And then that merged with the Rainer Foundation to form an organization called Catch-22. I know this is a lot of stuff. However, this organization, the patron of it is Princess Anne. And she attends regular events organized by Catch-22 where she often speaks on social issues such as child sexual exploitation and young people's mental health. Catch-22 supports vulnerable young people. You know, and whenever I find something like this, I always worry that the people in charge of the hen house, right? And it's only people for under the age of 18. So you have to be 4 to 18 years old. And you have this director of this crime concern, another guy named Nick. So many Nicks. And he was a director from 1992 to 1999. But he resigned from the board 6 months after the 1999 murder of his Crime Watch colleague, Jill Dando, who was maybe investigating child sex abuse claims. And somebody took a gun, pointed right to her head in broad daylight. It was considered a hit. And a bunch of other directors of this are linked to English child sex abuse scandals. So it's just, there's just too much going on with this Nick and Kim Heard. And then, you know, I have some real problems with that one. So we'll have to see where that goes. Next on our list is Mike Atkin and, oh God, ANL. You know, maybe it's Ami. It's hard to tell. It looks like Ami in the book. So we'll go with Ami. She's a fiction author. But she also writes about medical and Jewish issues. Big friends of Ghislaine. And the address used in the book goes to an attorney. This is Michael Charles Atkin. He is married to Ami Brodoff. And Ami writes fiction. And the fiction that she writes is not something, you know, when I said, okay, she also writes about medical and Jewish issues. The way that she makes most of her money is she writes kinky threesome material. That's highly sexual. And Michael Atkin and Robert Maxwell are from the same tiny town in Czechoslovakia. So, you know, I just that's something too. They're friends. There's a couple things I found it interesting that what she writes the books about. I just, okay. All right. One of the things that I kind of want to talk about is a little bit about Bahrain. And Prince Andrew was supposed to go to Bahrain and but had to cancel it. And this is when he quit his royal duties, fired, or whatever. But back in 2013, the Jeffrey Epstein VI Foundation was supporting the International Peace Institute's launch in Bahrain. And the foundation, this is 2013, it's a PR Newswire article. And they don't talk about, it's from Epstein's company, foundation, so they don't talk about any of his stuff. They just make it sound like he's the most wonderful person in the whole world. It says, based in New York City in the U.S. Virgin Islands, the Jeffrey Epstein VI Foundation has played a key role in supporting peace accords over the last decade. The foundation also established a fellowship fund at the Peace Institute to honor deceased Middle East diplomat Richard Hooper, closely connected to the United Nations. And remember the last person I talked about, Nick Hurd, United Nations. The International Peace Institute, nonprofit organization, blah, blah, blah. But it talks about, it all takes place in Bahrain. And Bahrain is the key country for the International Peace Institute. It's in the heart of the Middle East, and since 2002 has adopted many promising constitutional laws such as religious freedom and women's right to vote and hold office. Said skeptics of the accord cite the institute's undisclosed funds from the Bahrain government. And this is the kind of thing. So Jeffrey said, we believe that the Institute will put Bahrain's reforms in the spotlight, and da-da-da-da-da. But it's interesting that Prince Andrew was adamant on going to Bahrain. He was forced to stay home. Bahrain's a safe haven with no U.S. extradition treaty. Michael Jackson spent 11 months living in Bahrain after his acquittal on child abuse charges. When you don't have a lot of money, but you have a brand name, the Sheikh of Bahrain is known to make a good bargain. So, it's interesting that Andrew really was desperate to go to Bahrain. He was going to go there and he was going to be the guest of honor. Everything just kind of all goes together, doesn't it? Let's see what's next. Stephen Benson, also known as Stephen Edgar Benson. You know, there's a couple of entries, work and home. Whenever there's home, I really worry about it, even when there's a little bit. He's an international investment company chairman. He's about 70 years old. I think about these guys when we only have one or two entries, but one of them's a home number, and how many of them were guests of Jeffrey Epstein. You have Caroline Brain. She's a personal trainer. Her thing is she's mobile and, quote, will please her clients. So, yeah. And Jeffrey had two home numbers for her. Then, this is an interesting one, especially if you've been listening to holiday music. Ben Bram, he is the co-creator of Pentatonix. He's in there. And I'm not sure why. You know, there's only one entry. It looks like a home number. I just, you know, without more to go on and his relationship with Epstein, it's tough. But I just thought that was kind of odd that the co-creator of Pentatonix is in there. You have Joan Juliet Buck. She lived in New Mexico and New York. She's a big friend of Ghislaine. She was the former editor of French Vogue and wrote the book The Price of Illusion memoir. New Mexico, New York, Vogue, Ghislaine friend, you worry about that kind of stuff. And, you know, with Vogue, then you're finding models. And, I mean, Epstein sure did know a lot of people who worked with models for somebody who was a hedge fund manager. Peter Brandt, I think we've talked about him before, but he's the trader of classical charting principles, number one Amazon book about trading and things like that. You know, there is a home number. Again, I worry when there's home numbers of people. Ron Burkle, he's an American billionaire. He has 1, 2, 3 entries, including a home number. Co-founder and managing partner of the Yucaipa companies. They specialize in underperforming U.S. companies and the distribution, logistics, food, retail. He is the guy that had the lawsuit against Raffaello Fileri. And you're going, well, who the hell's that? Why do I know that name? He is the ex-boyfriend of actress Anne Hathaway, right? And when Raffaello was scamming people and doing a Ponzi scheme and Anne and was enjoying all the money and everything that Raffaello was bringing in, and then Raffaello went to jail, and Ron sued but lost. Ron has a bunch of political ties. He gives a whole bunch of money. He's friends with the Clintons. You have Chris and Allison Brown. Allison's, I think, maiden name is Chase. She runs Pink Wisdom Sugar Spice Expert Advice. Interesting. And then Christopher Brown, he is a, quote, premium retail strategist, but he's also a pilot. So, and they are in there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. So obviously very good friends with Epstein. Debbie Castaneda. She is a Colombian model. She is Miss Columbia Universe from 1996. She is a Bunga Bunga sex party girl. And you might be thinking, what's the Bunga Bunga? Why do I know that? Okay. The Bunga Bunga sex parties were the Italian Prime Minister, Silvio Berlusconi, those parties that he had with, you know, legal, barely legal underage. Mm-hmm. She, Debbie, became involved in all that because she, at that time, then she hooked up and then married an Italian businessman named Marco Squattriti. And then she had a relationship with the Italian Prime Minister through her husband. So Marco introduced the Prime Minister, and the next thing you know, she's having an affair with the Prime Minister. And Debbie Castaneda was implicated in several scandals related to the Prime Minister back in 2011. She denies that she went to any of these sex parties, but everybody saw her there. She also solicited and secured financing for a cocaine godmother. That's the one that stars Catherine Zeta-Jones in a horrible bit of casting. And I find it interesting that she is able to still do that, so she must have got a huge payoff from somebody. Whether it's the Prime Minister, who extremely rich, or I don't know if Marco Squattriti had money. Anyway, Debbie Castaneda was fully up in there. Then you have Camila Carlbaum, a shipping company. She's a classical violinist, a former freelance broadcast journalist. She worked for U.S. News and World Report, CBS News, the BBC, Arab Television, HBO. She's in there a couple of times. But I think that Debbie Castaneda is the interesting one in that little group. Dalit Cohen. He is a Swedish bond trader. No, she. Sorry. Dalit Cohen is a Swedish bond trader. And she married a Formula One guy. And remember, the Formula One guys, they're all up in this. His name's Harry Nuttall. Now, his father was a billionaire named Sir Nicholas Nuttall. And they are Bahamas-based construction heirs. Dalit is the ex-girlfriend of Robert Maxwell's son, Ian. So very close connection to Ghislaine. This is all just kind of crossing over, right? Linda Cleric, she is in here. She is the fashion designer to the royals. Her clients include members of the British and European royal families, Helen Mirren, Lady Victoria Hervey, who we've talked about before, who stayed at Epstein's apartments and pretend, you know, said that she was recorded all the time. Cherie Blair. She also designed Sarah Ferguson's wedding dress that she wore when she got married to Prince Andrew. So this is somebody who, again, everybody's all kind of wrapped up in this. Emma and Graham Clempson. This would be Emma's maiden name would be Katie, would be Forbes. Yes, that Forbes. Not really a whole lot to see there. There's really just an address. So I'm going to go with just on the Christmas card list. Because I don't see it otherwise. Okay. Now, in the book is somebody named Jeff Davies, but it's not actually Jeff Davies. It's Jeff Davis. And he's a designer for Nike, the owner of Symmetry Films. He makes Vimeo films. And then also with Jeff is his manager is a person named Robert Marone. Okay, Bob. And Bob is a freelance event project manager and a watch dealer. And you might be thinking, gosh, that name sounds kind of familiar. Well, he is the one who sold John Mayer, quote unquote, Frankenwatches. And back in 2014, John Mayer filed a lawsuit against a former friend of his, Bob, who was in Jeffrey Epstein's black book. Mayer claims to have spent around $5 million over a few years on some watches. And, you know, this Bob guy was a well-known high-end vintage and pre-owned watch dealer. And Charlie Sheen's one of his huge clients. So what caused John Mayer to sue him? It has to do with an allegation that Bob sold a number of supposedly very valuable vintage Rolex watches to Mayer that were not completely authentic. The watches may have been assembled from a range of actual Rolex parts from different models, hence the Frankenwatch thing. And some of the parts were authentic, some were replica, but not worth what Mayer paid for them. And Mayer wanted Bob to refund his money, and Bob did give him a refund and some credit in one instance, but not for the larger collection, saying that John, whatever he bought, was as is, and, you know, Mayer sued a few months later. So, interesting, the kind of people that end up in this book. Then we have Amadeo Claverino. There is a home number, which always, again, worries me, but there's not a lot about him. A real estate developer, he owns the Maloha Palace Hotel. We have Nick and Heather Day. They are a British couple who split time between Ireland and Kenya. They own a cattle ranch in Nairobi where tourists can rent rooms. They are in there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Michael Davis, he was producer of Celebrity Liar. That's really about it, but there's a home number again. Then you have William Leggy. He's the 10th Earl of Dartmouth, a former member of the European Parliament. Now, he is divorced from Melbourne-born former model Fiona Campbell, whose first husband, Matt, is a nephew of Rupert Murdoch. So, I mean, it just kind of, all this stuff just kind of goes on and on. Let's see. Where is the next one? Okay. You have Nicole Junkerman. This is somebody who has been on the Lolita Express a lot. She is a German entrepreneur and investor. She founded multiple private equity funds, namely in the media and sports genres. She did all this with Epstein's help. He became infatuated with her. And this was after she graduated from Harvard Business School in 2003. And one of the few times that Jeffrey Epstein went anywhere just with one other person on the Lolita Express was with Nicole Junkerman. It was so rare that he went with just one person. And he did with Nicole. And this was, then another time she flew was he was on the plane with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. And Nicole was there. Now, how does Nicole play into Israeli politics? Okay, well, Carbine, this is the thing that she's director of. It's called Carbine 911, and it used to be called Reporti. And it's a public safety technology company based in Tel Aviv. They developed a real-time emergency communication platform. It's basically an advanced 911 system. And it got a 2017 Homeland Security Award. And the former Prime Minister Barack not only invested $1 million into the company, he also sits on the board as chairman. And so this Carbine 911 is known to be connected to the Israeli Military Intelligence Division, the part of Mossad. They have a partnership with Google. U.S. cities have adopted Carbine's system of voice over internet protocol. This all sounds like everybody's listening on everything. And then in 2017, Nicole married Italian businessman Ferdinando Maria Bracetti Peretti. And he's chairman and CEO of API Group, which is an Italian energy company. And then in 2018, she was appointed to the Department of Health and Social Care's Health Tech Advisory Board. This board guides the Secretary of State on technology. So this is a person who, all in with Jeffrey Epstein. And in 2018, the year that he was arrested, you know, right before he's arrested and everything, she's getting appointed to government positions. All right. Okay. So Carbine, incorporated in 2014, and that's when Barack invested the $1 million. It is crazy the amount of people in this. So, okay. This company also links a U.S.-based businessman named Andrew Intrader. You might not know who Andrew Intrader is, but he is one of the suspects in the Mueller investigation. Okay? And then Intrader and Epstein were best buddies. All right? So then you have, back in August, you have Intrader is also related to Russian businessman Viktor Vekselberg, a man who's been designated by the U.S. Department of Treasury as suspected of supporting malign activity perpetrated by the Russian government, and was questioned, Intrader was questioned due to conspicuous money transfers to and close ties with Michael Cohen. So, I mean, it all just kind of goes together, and it's a really weird system. Now, you have Prime Minister Barack, and this Carbine, you had Nicole, you know, and through these shell companies. Well, Epstein also owned a company called Southern Trust Company, which also invested money that eventually, through another shell company, owns Carbine. Okay? So, Jeffrey Epstein owned, you know, roughly a quarter of the company, of this Carbine company. Nicole Junkerman, I think, owns about a quarter. This Intrader guy owns about 24%. It's unclear how much the former prime minister owns. But this is not something that... So that you have a Homeland Security Award. Epstein owns a part of a company that won a Homeland Security Award in 2017. So, one of the things that they, this product, is a way that it was used by Mossad units to surveil foreign governments. It's called a blackmail unit. It's called a Unit 8200. And that's these people in the Mossad. And they infiltrate tech companies like Google, Microsoft, Facebook. It's what they do. And that is kind of how this all goes. The $1 million, so Epstein invested $1 million back in 2016 through Southern Trust. And then an additional investment of $500,000 was funneled into this company called CERN from another British Virgin Islands company called Montella International. And then Montella, one of the biggest stakeholders, is this Nicole Junkerman. Okay? And it's crazy to me that all this is on there. But on the Carbine board is a guy named, I want to say Pinhas Boukris, and he was the former director of Israel's Unit 8200, the one I was just talking about. And, you know, it's just, there's also another company called Okin, which Nicole Junkerman kind of controls. It's an AI startup company that uses machine learning to augment medical and biology research. And Epstein was very into this. And then this is one of the companies they ran is a company called Affinity, and it's spelled A-F-I-N-I-T-I. Okay. Affinity, on their board, is David Cameron, the former prime minister, and also, get this, this is going to blow your mind, Princess Beatrice. And Princess Beatrice is head of partnerships. And then you have the son-in-law of the former prime minister to Spain is there. And the former prime minister's son, Alonso, is general manager of Mexico. And Richard Branson is one of the biggest clients. So it's just all just goes on and on. It's just crazy to me, all these things. Then one of the things is, well, this is just really deep, so I'll probably save it for next time, but it's the whole Deutsche Bank executive who committed suicide and all about that. And it talks about, you know, how Epstein hid his money and dealt with the Deutsche Bank and all this kind of stuff. So, but I think it's a little bit more than is necessary for today, especially after all this deep stuff we've talked about over the last hour. So, anyway, I will talk to you guys later.